As we meditate upon the love of our God, it is beyond our comprehension to imagine such love that he has had for us. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews was a book that was written to the Hebrew believers. And in this book, as we have been going through it section by section, verse by verse, we've been instructed in the glorious supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have said the key word is better, that it's he is better than any other. But the Hebrew readers have been adequately informed about the incomparability of the Lord Jesus Christ to all that are on earth as well as those that are in heaven. He is truly God that has come in the flesh, having taken on human flesh in order to be our perfect sacrifice and then to be our high priest at the throne of God, having purchased our redemption with his own blood. What a marvelous book we have had as we've been studying this. But here we're in a practical section of the book of Hebrews, and in these verses we're given some practical instruction regarding our functioning within the assembly of the local church. The church of Jesus Christ, that is the body of Jesus Christ, is to have its manifestation in the properly run local assemblies of his believers. That's what we are today. We're a local assembly of the believers. We're a local assembly, that local manifestation of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 17, it speaks of the right relationships of the appointed leaders to the rest of the assembly. It gives us a brief outline that helps us to understand what God expects. And so we'll just take this verse and we'll take it word for word, section by section, and see what it has to say to us today. So the title of my message this morning is The Church Functioning Properly. The Church Functioning Properly. The first phrase that we have here is, obey them that have the rule over you. There is to be a submitted assembly. The body of believers is to be a submitted assembly. It says here the word obey. It's a word for obedience. Sometimes that word is translated to persuade in the sense that it's a word that asks you to believe, that is to be persuaded, that it's right for you to do what those in authority would ask. Obey here is a word that's used in the imperative. It's a command. It's a command. It's that we are said this is what that you are to do. Obey is a word that's disliked in much of the English-speaking language peoples because we don't like to be under anyone. Of course, we recognize that in all of society, there is that one that we're going to be under. I've heard young people that are as they're getting ready to graduate from high school, they say, "Boy, I'm ready to graduate. I'm ready to get out so I don't have to do what somebody else tells me to do." They're just getting started, aren't they? They're just getting started because the Lord has established that there would be an authority structure that is there. So there is that he says that you are to, he tells us that there is to be that obedience and a submitted assembly that it says it's going to be those that would rule over you. Three times in this chapter, we have those it's mentioned that we would be ruled over. In the seventh verse, in the seventh verse of this chapter. It says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." We looked at that verse some time back. Here in the 17th verse that we're looking at, we see it here, that there are those that rule over. Even in the end of the book, in the 24th verse, when he's saying to salute those in various ones, he says, "Salute those that have the rule over you." There's an indication here that God has given an established authority structure to be within the church. We have a church constitution that's, in fact, if anyone needs a new copy of that, we laid a few new copies out there on the little shelf. If they're not there, you want one, you're welcome to have one to be updated with the recent change that we made in that. But in that constitution, and using the scriptural principles that were given, we have laid out there our structure that we would have within our assembly. We have a membership that agrees to that structure. When one joins, we ask them to, you know, are you in agreement? Have you read through the Constitution? Are you in agreement with that? One's officially, and that's an official placing oneself under the authority of the church. It's committing yourself to the other believers in the local assembly. Now, if you're regularly attending as a believer in our assembly, just because you haven't joined doesn't mean that you're, you know, we still consider you to be under the authority structure, even if you've not officially joined. But that being said, I would encourage any of you that have not done that, that is something where it's a visible sign of I am putting myself under the leadership, and I'm committing myself to the other believers in the assembly, and so we would just make mention of but in that we recognize in this authority structure we have a pastor position that must take on, whether he wants to or not, he has to take on an authority position. It's part of the office. We have elected elders that are asked to assume an authority position. It is constitutionally and biblically a part of the office. And so that's part of what is in the structure because of what the Lord has given to us. There's another kind of parallel passage that would be in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 2 to 4, it gives there the leader's responsibility. It says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." And there's this oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I read that passage in its length there because it's some of the very same things, the concepts that we'll be seeing here in this verse are there. So there's an authority structure. We're to be an assembly that recognizes that we are to, there is that to obey those that are over us. And then the word there is obey them that rule over you and submit yourselves. Part of that being a submitted assembly is that the word there submit is to, you yield your will. You do not because necessarily that is your desire, but that you recognize that there is an authority, and it's that you ought to do. One wrote this, to resist no longer, but to give way, to yield as of combatants, to yield authority, to submit. Another said, submit yourselves as a matter of dutiful yielding when your judgment and nature and natural will incline you in an opposite direction. Usually it's no problem, is it? When we're all on the same page, everybody's going the same direction. But when something is goes against your personal, my personal natural or judgment or nature, when it would be the opposite, that's when it becomes hard. That's when it becomes hard in the home, isn't it? That's when it becomes hard at a job site. That's when it becomes hard anywhere when your child has a desire to do something else, and you tell them no, this is the way we're going to do it. They don't like that. Why is that? It goes against that. It goes against that nature. But that is as we are told there's an authority structure. Let's pick on the Margraf family today. Can we do that? Wait, is Laura here? Where's Laura? Where'd she go? Oh, we missed her. Oh, that's too bad. I was going to use her as an example this morning. Well, okay, you tell her I talked about her today, okay? I was going to talk about her. So let's just say that Ron and Becky are going to be gone, and they're going to leave Laura and Becky at home. Who's going to be in charge when they're gone? Or don't you put anybody in charge? Just do what you want. No, they're probably going to... Laura being older and experienced and well-proven, she's probably the one that's going to be put... So, Laura, I'm going to put you in charge when we're gone. It's Ben's imperative command. Ben, you need to obey Laura. How is this going to work? Ben's got to submit to her, right? What if he has a better idea? She says, "Well, you know, we're gonna go over to the grocery store and we're gonna get some things." He says, "No, I want to go down to the drugstore, so I'm gonna no." I mean, you know, she's the one that's there, but you know, if her position would have no value if he doesn't. If he doesn't submit to her, it would, and that's if he should think he knew better, then that position that has been given there in a home is no better. Well, this is what the Lord is saying here in this verse. There are those that are over you, and so he says, obey them and submit. So the church is to be a submitted assembly. It is to be an assembly that would even as in a home in a hypothetical situation that I've given here, Ben would be told, do what your older sister says. You know, that would be something you'd want to see. Now let's go on. Let's go on in verse 17. For they watch for your souls. Here's the responsibility that's given to those that are the overseers. There needs to be responsible overseers. They watch for your souls. They have your souls in mind. Decisions are not to be made selfishly. Decisions are not to be made selfishly. We read here in Peter, where it says they're not to be lorded over like I'm in charge. You do what I want you to do. You know that there's not that lording over. It's not selfishly, as we read there. It's not those that are lording over are not to do it for their financial gain. Do it for their what they can gain out of it. It's not okay. You are my slave. Now, Ben probably wouldn't respond to that too well. Although Ben's such an agreeable guy, he would even be a slave for a week, for a few days. I don't know, but that's what makes it work is when the overseers are have that responsible position. Their decisions are made for who? For the souls of those to whom they're over. There needs to be that responsible overseer where they're doing what is done for the benefit of the assembly, as we're looking in the church, doing what is for the eternal benefit of the rest of which they are over. It would be like kind of asking, what would the Lord Jesus do for these individuals? That's what I need to do for them because I am here to watch. The word, their watch is to be, I am to be vigilant. I am to have a constant care. I am to be taking oversight with one that is taking oversight. They are ones that have to look to the care of the individuals. Now, we recognize when the Lord Jesus said to Peter, who was going to be over those, that, what did he tell Peter? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Another place he says to those, he says, feed the flock of God. There needs to be that is going to nourish the soul. Those that are in responsible leadership, one of the first things you want to do is to see that ones are going to be fed, that they're given the precious things and the precious word of God. I remember attending a church for just a few Sundays when we first came here to the county, and that was just a year or two ago. You know, many. But I remember that it was a church where there were those that believed God's word, but every message was just you need to come to Christ. That was the message on Sunday morning. It was a message on Sunday night. It was a message on Wednesday night. And I recognized we as a family will not grow under that kind of a ministry because we need, you know, we've been given that we're to be given all the counsel of God and be given all of God's word. We need to be constantly fed the word of God, not just I'd already come to Christ, my wife had already come to Christ, most everybody in that assembly had already come to Christ. It wasn't that some needed that. Of course, we need to be admonished to be giving out the gospel to others. But part of the responsibility of an overseer is to see that God's people are fed, that the assembly is fed. It's also to make sure that they're safe. We're told in many times here in the scripture to warn of false prophets. The book of Jude is an excellent book that you know, he says, I'd like to be talking to you about some of the precious things of God, but I need to warn you because there are those that will rise up in your midst and will lead you astray. So there needs to be that warning. There needs to be that constant vigilance to recognize that there are various ones that are going to come in and seek to take the flock. There's also the scriptures that talk about the need to separate from those that are unbelievers and the apostate. And then one of the harder concepts that many believers have is those scriptures that talk to us and tell us how there are even brothers in Christ that sometimes we need to separate from because they're refusing to deal with sin in their lives. They're refusing to follow the things of God's word. And so there's scriptures that tell us we have to note that individual. They have to be named and turned from. That's not an easy thing. That's probably one of the hardest things that take place sometimes with an overseer. But he needs to be vigilant. He needs to be vigilant in making sure that they are safe because he has the responsibility of watching for their souls. He has a responsibility to make sure that they're keeping their hearts right. We many times quote that passage from Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence. How prone we are not to deal with the issues of our hearts, how prone we are not to deal with sin in our lives. And if we let unrepentant sin go, then how it spreads and how it takes root. We have a tree in our backyard, or we had a tree in our backyard. I saw this nice tree in our oldest daughter Laura June's yard a number of years ago over Delphus area, and I thought, boy, that would be a nice tree, and I took that thing, and she says, take it. I mean, there were ones coming up in the grass around, and so she said, hey, take that. I don't want it. Well, it wasn't, but this tree is getting up nice and starting to grow nice, and Laura June looks out our window and says, Dad, get rid of that tree. She says, you don't want that tree. She says, you're going to have him up all over the place. You need to get rid of it. My wife says, that's a pretty tree. I mean, it was kind of, I don't even know what the name of it is. It had a little kind of a whitish, a light-colored bark, and the leaves were a little bit different. And don't cut it down. I said, well, we better cut it. No, we'll let it go. So we let it go. And it grew fast. In fact, it was up as high as our other trees that had been there when we first came to the place that we bought there. But I started noticing here and there and there, they're starting to pop up these little trees. Well, we cut it down. We cut it down, got rid of it, put stuff over it that's supposed to kill it, you know, to kill the stump. I think it's now been 3 years or better. Maybe this is the fourth year. We looked out the other day and still all over the yard. Just since I mowed it last, here are these things sticking up as high. That's what sin does when we don't take care of it, when we let it take root. This is a tree that doesn't seed by coming from above. It comes up from the roots. And so when you dig one up, it's tied in. It's tied into that whole thing. It's got a root system spread out throughout our yard, and it's putting up things all over the place. Sin that is unrepentant and not dealt with, that's what it does. It takes root, and then it keeps popping up here and there. Part of the responsibility of those overseers are to see that unrepentant sin is dealt with, that they're not roots of bitterness that are not being dealt with. Many times we don't even know about some of that, but there needs to be that warning, that diligence. We were talking in Sunday school class this morning, just the obedience to God's word. Oh, how we need to be continually reminded. We need to remind ourselves. We need to be reminded by our leadership. Be obedient to God's word. Follow God's word. Desire his will and not your own. That God's will should be primary in our hearts. Then the responsible overseers are those that, as we learn in 1 Peter 5:3, it tells us to be an example to the flock. There's a needing to lead by example. Timothy was told in 1 Timothy to be an example of the believer in word and conversation and faith and purity. A responsible overseer needs to be one that is going to lead by example. And so there's that diligence that we are to have. It says, for they watch for your souls. Such an important thing that is given, a responsibility. It isn't just, yes, there is a place of authority, but oh, it's a place that carries tremendous responsibilities. The next phrase in verse 17, it says, as they must give account. There's an accountability for the overseers. They must give account. What's that all about? What do we read there in 1 Peter 5, verse 4? When the chief shepherd shall appear. The chief shepherd is going to appear, the one who is the head of the church, anyone that we put into leadership within the local assembly, they are not the head. The pastor is not the head. The elders are not the head. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This isn't the church of any individual. There's been a place that we have been told that there needs to be ones that are put into a place of leadership. But that would be kind of like using the example of the Margraffs. When Dad came home, Laura was going to be responsible. What did you do with that authority that I gave to you? How did you handle that? In the church, the term is used under shepherds. It's not a man's church, but it's those that are serving on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an account that is going to be given. I will come again and receive you, he says. I will come again and receive you. Remember the parable of the talents. There was that things and responsibilities that were given. And then how were those things handled? When the one comes back, he comes back to see what has been done. Many passages of the scripture are there to let us know that we'll give an account. We'll give an account for what God has laid before us. So there is the accountable overseers. Look at the next phrase here in verse 17. As they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. It's interesting that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this is a true saying, that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. An indication there that it's a position that ought to be desired. It's a position that ought to be desired. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I think part of that, of what he's saying here, that they may do it with joy. It's a position that brings joy. I think of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. That fourth chapter in verse 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, and my crown. What a joy it was for Paul to have congregation that was there at Philippi. A congregation that that brought to him a joy. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Paul said this, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye?" He says, you're my joy. You're my crown of rejoicing. Even as Paul found great joy in those that he served, he says, you know, if the church is functioning as it ought, if you have a submitted assembly, and if you have overseers that are doing the job the way that God has designed for it to be, he's saying they should be able to do it with joy. It should be a joyous thing. We seek to have young men that prepare for the gospel, young men to prepare to prepare their own hearts and minds to be able to be used in the gospel ministry. Sometimes there are those that change their mind about that when they see some of the troubles and some of the problems within an assembly, because they see that instead of there being joy, there is grief. He says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. A leadership position, an overseer's position, can be a position of grief. Leading a disobedient people brings grief. Seeing those to whom you are charged refusing the precious things of God, oh, the grief that it brings. Sometimes even the personal abuse for seeking to lead according to the scripture. Consider going back to using the margraphs this morning. Again, I hope you don't mind me doing this. Consider the joy of Laura with an obedient brother who submits to her even though he might not have agreed with her. You know, she says, "Hey, Dad, it went great. You know, Ben was no trouble at all. We got along fine, even when he didn't agree with me. He said, okay, you're in charge. You know, that's okay." But turn that around. Consider the grief if Ben, who he wouldn't, but if Ben, who had rebelled and gotten into a lot of trouble, Laura, why did you let him do that? Dad, I couldn't handle him. If you think of the grief that something like that would put. Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying here in this verse that are those that watch for your souls. They've got to give account that they might do it with joy and not with grief. God desires that the functioning of the church, of the assembly, he desires that it be a blessed functioning. He desires that it be that which is well run and a harmony and a unity that ought to be there. And then when you look at the last part of this verse, "For that is unprofitable for you." What is unprofitable? It's unprofitable when we recognize that it is the assembly of believers that is ultimately hurt when refusing the proper church leadership. But it is the assembly of believers that ultimately will profit when there is the proper church leadership and there is the proper submission under that authority. God has designed the church that it be a place of blessing. God has designed the assembly that it be a place of our submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. We have we have looked here through this. We see that God has ordained authority. You know, there's all kinds of authority, as we said at the beginning. There's all kinds of authority that God has put in our society. There's the governmental authority that God has ordained, and He puts those in the place and position, and it is God that raises up nations and takes down nations, and sometimes the Lord gives us what we. Sometimes He gives us what we deserve, because of, you know, we think of the way our nation is going, and as our nation is turning from the Lord, it's grievous to see how some of those that are our leaders that are over us are not leading in godly ways. Our nation is in trouble, is it not? Our church will also be in trouble if we don't follow the pattern that God gives to us. If we don't have an assembly that is submitted unto the leadership, and a leadership that is carrying out the responsibilities properly the way God has laid them out. But what a blessing it is when those things all come together. What a blessing it is when we work and labor together in the local assembly. So what do we see in this verse this morning? We see in the first part of that verse, we see there where it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." This is a submitted assembly. And then we see that responsible leadership, for they watch for your souls. And then we see that recognition of the leadership, of their accountability, that this isn't theirs. It's not for their personal thing, but they're going to be held accountable within the assembly. And so there's a leadership that recognizes its accountability. And then we see that there will be joyful leaders rather than grieving ones when this comes together as it ought to come. And then there will be the experience of great profit that Jesus Christ has for His church. That it would not be that which is unprofitable to us, but that it would be profitable. God has designed the church to be a place where we grow together. God has designed a place where we can come and work and labor together. Do we all perfectly agree together? Is there any place anybody perfectly agrees together? No. But within the assembly of believers, God has ordained how it is to function. And function in a blessed way. May that be what our church is. May we be a manifestation of what the body of Christ is to be presented in our communities. May people see us as they see that there is that love that we have one to another, that there is taking the accountability. May we see that myself and our elders, that we are doing what we need to do, taking our responsibilities, recognizing that we are under the Lord Jesus Christ, and there not be anything that is done for any of our personal gain, but it be done for those of the assembly. And may the assembly be one that is submitted and is willing to submit themselves under that leadership. That's the way God has ordained for the church to be, for a church to be a place of blessing, a church to be a place that we come and we grow together and under the protections that God has given to us. May the Lord direct us in that. May he help us in that. May we be together what God designs for us to be. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you lay before us here those things that bring to each of us responsibilities. And Lord, you bring to us convictions that we must look at and recognize, Lord, where are we carrying out what we are supposed to do, and where are we falling down? And Lord, help us to be that which we need to be, that Lord, that we might be used of you, not only, Lord, in the building up of the saints, but then, Lord, of the going forth and reaching others for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for that instruction to us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to number 3.